Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line James Sanskrisk, and we're going to be talking about his book. Who's Driving the Purpose-Driven Church? And we carry the book. We think it's an important book to have because it would give you an idea of what this whole church growth movement is all about. Now, a lot of people hear about 40 Days of Purpose and the Purpose-Driven Life and the Purpose-Driven Church, and you know, a lot of people are very enthusiastic about it. I mean, after all, it changes your whole attitude towards church. It is a restructuring of church. It's basically a new gospel. It's a different gospel. It's a much nicer gospel. Nobody's a sinner who, of course, saved by grace. Why? If God loves everybody, and we've changed the basic message of the church. And, of course, we're warned in the book of Galatians and in Romans that when people come and they change the message to the church, why they're not preaching the true gospel. And the trouble is, we're told that in the latter days there's going to be a great falling away. And this movement, this church growth movement, is sweeping America, it's sweeping Africa, it's sweeping the world, and most people don't see what's wrong with it. After all, they talk about Christianity, they talk about the virgin birth, they talk about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They sound just like Christians. So, James, what's wrong with the purpose-driven church?
I've been working on this for several years, Stan, and several thousand hours have gone into this, and with a lot of help of my research colleagues around the world. So I first want to say that, of course, God has his purposes in heaven and on earth. And so what I just simply did was to take Rick Warren's book, Purpose Driven Life, and compare line by line with Scripture. Did it line up or did it not line up? Of course we have purposes. So there's nothing wrong with asking yourself or our purposes in life. The question comes down to is, are the purposes that we're supposed to have, how do we find out what they are? And we certainly begin with John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But the rest of our purposes we actually can find throughout Scripture. It's also known as sanctification, and all Scripture is profitable for reproof, for correction, and so the Bible tells us, and Paul tells us, that we have everything that we need for godliness. In fact, the Reformation was fought over whether Scripture alone was sufficient for us to determine our faith, and that sola scriptura is the term that they was used. And so when you start inventing things that we have to take 40 days in order to find our purpose, or that this is how God worked, in Rick Warren's book, whenever God chose his purpose, he took 40 days. Well, so you have to look through the Bible, and you go. I went through all of his examples to find out, in fact, did God take 40 days to determine man's purpose? And to tell you the truth, Stan, I couldn't find one example. There's many examples of 40 days in the Bible, but to take exactly 40 days, certainly, someone asked you, I asked my folks.
Hold that thought right there, James. Wow. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. Welcome your calls from out at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 24 Liberty or 464-8295, but please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line James Sandquist, and he has written a book called Who is Driving the Purpose-Driven Church? Now, this will be a very... Many people who go to purpose-driven churches, and in many instances, why the church is growing. And there's an air of enthusiasm that you haven't seen in church for a long time. And we're... who have never been to church before, because they come to church and they feel good about themselves. And there's certain people don't dress up to come to church to honor God. You can sort of come as you are, and we've changed the music to make it more like the rock and roll of the world. And as Rick Warren says, you know, there's no such thing as Christian music. There are only Christian lyrics. So don't you dare our music. And then he says, don't criticize what we're doing. After all, if God is blessing us, it must be good. But just because giving is successful, does it mean that God is blessing it? Does God blessing, for instance, or creating the rock stars who are making tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of concerts, where the people are flocking into them, is that God's blessing that we're sharing? People like Michael Jackson, a great successful entertainer, and, of course, the purpose is very successful. It's sweeping the world. And Rick Warren, if you go to his website, he tells you he has a mission for the world, but in the process, they're going to have to change the gospel. Oh, not a great deal. We're going to talk about Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about Christianity. But is this the Christian religion that's being preached? And that's, I think, what James is trying to get over. James, pick up the story there.
Okay. I'll stand in outlining this. And what we're trying to do is, since one of the main themes is 40 days and how important it is to determine your purpose, we need to go to the scriptures to find out. That's our ultimate authority. And so what I did was I went through the example that Rick Warren states in his book.
Hold that thought. Well, Dr. Stan and James Sandquist is our guest today. He's the author of Who's Driving the Driven Church? And he said that he began to go to the scriptures, and Rick Warren said that, of course, God over and over again had mentioned about how God had taken 40 days to determine purpose. James says he went to the scripture, used all the examples and that were given. And what did you find, not in the book?
Well, I just go through some of the list of the names. Rick Warren states that Noah was transformed by 40 days of rain. And, of course, we know about the 40 days of rain, but we need to examine the text carefully. Is that what happened during the 40 days at the time of Noah's flood?
In other words, was he a man of God before that, or did he have to just endure the 40 days of rain? Did the 40 days have to do anything with changing his life?
No, although his life was already changed. Keep in mind, he was a man after God's own heart. For 120 years, he'd been preaching the gospel. His purpose was already established, and he was not shaken by that. And by faith, he built the ark on the raining. And so his 40 days didn't make his purpose, but 40 days clearly marked a judgment for the earth, as we clearly saw when the floods overwhelmed the earth. And so, but it had nothing to do with determining Noah's purpose. And so, I went through these one example after another, and I just wanted to make sure that I was very careful, because I don't want to bear false witness against anybody. That's the Lord considered as an abomination. Commandments, of course, to not do that. I went through, and then the next example, he was Moses transformed by 40 days of the Sinai. And so you have to go back and read the text in Exodus, and it states, no, that Moses was given his purpose at the burning bush. And this was long before Mount Sinai. And now he uses a host of translations, and some would argue that, well, we'll find a different translation, but I would argue that you pick the translation, Stan, and you tell me any one of the translations that would, the facts would hold up even.
Well, do you think that maybe we use a lot of translations so we can find one that will agree with our preconceived notion? After all, when you use 15 entirely different translations of the scriptures, you can always find something that says what you want it to say, but you can't pick and choose in the Bible. We're supposed to be interpreting God's word, not man's interpretation, and many times a very loose interpretation, admittedly.
Well, we're called, commanded to not add unto God's word. It's one thing to paraphrase something, but you still can't invent the meaning. It still has to bear up with the facts, the actual account of the scripture. You can't just invent your own translation. The Apostle Peter said that no scripture is left to private interpretation.
You know, the thing that really bothers me, James, is we tell people the Bible is the word of God. But you have so many different translations. Which one is the Word of God? They can't all be the Word of God because they're all so different.
Well, I love to use the blueletterbible .org on the Internet because it is in the King James, but it takes you right back to either the Hebrew or the Greek text so that you can get exactly what is being stated without any ambiguity. And that's what I use. In fact, all my quotations take me back to there, but I invite any person listening to, and I'm subject to correction, that we should all be good Bereans, as Paul commended the Bereans, that because they search the scriptures to see if these things be true. And if they're not true, we are called to then identify that these are not true. And if you're saying something's in the Bible and it's not in there, or you invent it, or you twist the scripture to have it mean what you want it to mean, then you're in very dangerous waters. The scripture calls people that do that heretics and false teachers or false apostles, unless you repent, of course. Even a true apostle, Paul, confronted Peter, and even he was confronted if he was teaching something that wasn't true, and Paul said, I was compelled to do so because Peter was clearly in the wrong.
Well, no,
so,
but how can you object to something that is as successful as this is? Some of the largest churches in this United States really are going into this church growth movement, and it is a successful thing. The church is growing, and more people are attending services, and more people are getting organized into the structure of the purpose-driven church, which, of course, is really all management, as laid out by Peter Drucker, how you manage and control the people. And then, of course, you throw the people out of the church who don't go along with this. You have a program of getting rid of anybody who objects to what's happening. They call it blessed subtractions, because these are the pillars of the church. The pillars are holding up the progress of the church, and so you want to get rid of those pillars so we can move forward into the new gospel, into the new religion, into this wonderful new world that Rick Warren and the others are promising us, where Christianity is going to have such a different influence in the world.
Well, it seems natural to grow, doesn't it, Stan? When we're little, we're tots, and then we grow bigger and stronger, hopefully. And it's natural to grow in that sense. But believe it or not, there is not any scriptural passage whatsoever to support that the church's mandate is to grow. It is where the Great Commission is to preach the gospel to every tribe and nation on the earth. But there's no commandment to grow. The scriptures record that God will grant the increase, that you might preach and preach and preach perfect doctrine, Stan, and you might get one conversion, or in the case of Noah, zero conversions.
Well, now,
in the case of Nineveh, Jonah had 100% conversion of the city of Nineveh. The entire city repented. So it's a misunderstanding of the scripture that there is no, and I'd ask anybody to show me the commandment or any scripture that says that is the what the church is called to do is to grow. Now, some churches might grow, but if you're preaching the gospel, your church might shrink, Stan.
Well, let's get into what you have found in your book. Well, what do you cover? You start out talking about the 40 days, then you talk about Noah, and then you talk about Moses, and why don't you pick up the story from there? Let's let our listeners know what you're trying to say in your book.
Okay, well, when I go out and speak, my presentations, I have basically two main speeches that I took what I consider the clear and present dangers to the church. And in the first presentation, I devote to I'm trying to encourage people to be able to reject the purpose-driven life campaign before they even get to day one of the 40 days that are in Rick Warren's purpose-driven life book, 40 Days of Purpose. And the way I do that is that prior to day one, we go through these 40-day examples, and why we should be able to reject a teacher is that if he's teaching things that are false, and I document this before you get to day one, and I can give some more of the 40-day examples because that seems to be the theme and emphasis of Rick Warren's book, 40 Days. And then before we get to day one, Rick Warren talks about signing this covenant. In fact, you have a covenant at the beginning of his book that he wants you to sign. He wants you to sign this book without knowing anything about this teacher, which we're supposed to test the spirits. We should have no business signing it anyway, and Jesus Christ himself commanded us to not be signing these kinds of pledges, and that's backed up by the Apostle James in his own words. So there, on those two fronts alone, Rick Warren's covenant that he expects you to sign, and these 40 days examples, and we have not got to day one yet. And
what does the covenant ask you to do? What are you signing when you sign it? I mean, what does it say?
Well, it basically just says in a nutshell. He records on page 13, with God's help, I commit the next 40 days of my life to discover God's purpose for my life.
Who are you promising? Are you promising God you're going
to
do this?
I expect you to sign it. So you're really signing a covenant with him, and there's really nothing in here to make him have to comply with this contract or this covenant. It's you sign it, and there's no policing mechanism. However, if you become a member of his church, you very much there'll be a police action, because if you don't comply with him being the pastor's master model, then they, in order to go along and take these, sign this covenant to become a member of the church, then you will be summarily dismissed, as what happened with the Gardendale Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. 165 members were ousted because they opposed Rick Warren's teaching in this campaign. And that more recently, in an Evangelical Free Church near Bend, Oregon, or in Bend, Oregon, I just was able to confirm that they removed a similar number of people from their church because they would not go along with this plan.
Well, did they force them to leave, or did they ask them to leave, or how did they get them to leave?
Well, there's different methods. They try to talk you into going along with the plan and soften you up, and they have ways of targeting whether you're putting up a mild resistance or whether you just have questions, and then they have a method by which they identify what they consider the real troublemakers.
And isn't this all laid out very carefully in a management program? Isn't it all scripted exactly how you treat the people who don't go along with it, how you try to get them around, and then when they won't come around, then you force them to leave? Isn't this all being directed from above?
Well, in some cases it is not as draconian or top down. They say they leave it to the local congregation, because we still have, remember, laws that govern the bylaws of both the church and in state, and the various states have different bylaws, nonprofit corporation laws. So they don't have the total dictatorial ability that you might see in a Soviet state, but nevertheless, if a person is willing to surrender the rights over to a pastor, they actually submit to a form of being a spiritual abuse, and ultimately...
Hold that thought right there.
Our 4-tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination, a two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this 4-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today, 800-544-8927, 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this afternoon is James Sundquist. We're talking about his book, Who's Driving the Purpose-Driven Church? James, why don't you pick up the story from there?
Okay. We were talking about the church government, how they enforce this, and the way it's done. They have Rick Warren has a training manual, for leadership training manual, and in that they have the prescribed procedures by which that they teach the pastors that sign up for the program to go through, not just how to do the program, but what to do with resistors, because they do expect resistance. But how they how it ends up coming across is that they said, oh, these people weren't kicked out of the church because for opposing Rick Warren. They say they were kicked out because they were rebellious against the pastor, and God has raised up pastors to be the spiritual shepherds over their church, and because God has given them the wisdom and the insight about the programs that they're supposed to be doing in the church, they're very clever in how they dismiss people, that they just identify them as being in resistance to the authority God has raised up. And it is true that God has raised up authority in the church, but if you're going to exercise church discipline, you have to be, there's a very careful process. You have to prove that these, you have to have witnesses of two or more, and they have to have demonstrated moral turpitude, or they have to have demonstrated actually themselves having taught heretical things if they're teachers, and then they're given a chance to repent if they're teaching false things, or if they've done something immoral, and then even then in that process the desire is to restore that brother or that sister who has fallen, to even restore them back to the flock. So there's a long process. By you don't just kick people out that easily, because God is not very happy with just booting people out without having good cause and good grounds. And even then the idea is to restore that brother to the church. But so it's carefully couched that in fact, the people protested that we'd been kicked out, or the people that were involved in kicking people out of the Gardendale Baptist Church in Texas, because they said, oh, they weren't kicked out for opposing Rick Warren. But the fact is that there had never been a split in the history of that church, and there hadn't been any of these problems until Rick Warren's purpose-driven life was introduced to that church. And that's where the problems begin. And so they, in the process of time, if you were to interview people that were involved with that, they would say, oh, these people were troublemakers, and they were rebellious against who God has raised up. And it reminds me of the shepherding movement, which I'm sure you're quite familiar with, Stan. It was real popular back in the 70s. That led to a lot of spiritual abuse, taking authority beyond which was biblically grounded, and taking virtual mind control over their own congregation. And now, instead of it being mind control over a given congregation, Rick Warren has designed this in a way where we're taking over whole denominations, not in just this country, but in countries all over the world. And he has introduced his peace plan that he's been preaching on, that is to, we're going to call this the peace plan from the man of peace. Any Christian that's well grounded in the scriptures should have their red flags go up when they start hearing the word man of peace. And he claims this thing is going to succeed, and that these things that he's been teaching come from the Lord. But once again, anytime anybody says that, you have to examine the scriptures to find out if these teachings are from the Lord or not. He's introduced his personality profiling, which is the P in his SHAPE program, by which you take these tests and things to determine your personality and what gifts you're supposed to have in the church to discover them. But this theory is based on the teachings of the occultist Carl Jung, who has practiced sorcery and necromancy and all kinds of astrology and Taoism, and he derived his personality theory based on having contact with a spirit guide that he named and even drew a picture of, whose name was Philemon. And so I spent years studying his model, and as well as looking at Rick Warren's SHAPE model and his personality profiling model, and it just virtually mirrors a good percentage of what Carl Jung had designed. And so when you introduce this into the church, and you're saying this is from the Lord, then you have to, and people saying, oh, God has blessed this. Well, God has never blessed sorcery, let alone enforcing sorcery. Remember in the book of Acts, the early Christians, they burned the books of the magic arts. They didn't introduce them and say, well, can't we integrate this with the church because there's so many good ideas here. Let's merge the Greek pagan ideas with Christianity.
Hold that thought right there.
ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with TWA 800 on the route down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that will give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this afternoon is James Sandquist, and he's written a book called Who's Driving the Purpose-Driven Church? Now, we carry another book on that, Deceived on Purpose by Warren Smith. We're going to carry James' book, we think is an excellent book. It approaches this from an entirely different aspect, having read the book and then read the program, and then trying to find out if this is based on Scripture or this is simply a manifestation of a managerial program to control people. And, of course, it really is. It was devised by a man named Peter Drucker, who's almost always in his 90s now. He is the man who transformed American corporations. He brought his concepts then into government, and now he is going to transform the church, and everything is laid out and planned ahead of time exactly how this is going to take place. It's a management scheme brought into the church to transform Christianity. So pick up the story there, James.
Well, I want to say a little bit more on this personality thing, but you brought Peter Drucker's name up a number of times. Rick, I watched a video of Rick Warren, actually, in fact, it was on Dr. Robert, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Robert Kling, did a great DVD on the roots of the purpose-driven life, purpose-driven church, and the church growth movement. And in that, he shows a video of Rick Warren actually declaring that that he's read all of Peter Drucker's works and considers him one of the pillars of his philosophy of how to build a church and how to grow the church, how to structure the church. And but I don't know if you are aware of this, but Peter Drucker said that in social dynamics that there are no absolute values. And Dr. Robert Klink pointed this out brilliantly in documenting this. And so here you have a foundation that is the absolute opposite of the Bible, where we do have absolute values. They're called the Ten Commandments. And one of the, and that leads me into the Carl Jung-based personality profiling that Rick Warren is using, where he talks about trying to balance things in that he says he believes in these reconciling of opposites and building his theory on Carl Jung. Carl Jung had a real problem with Jesus Christ because he thought that there's a, because Jesus Christ, according to Christian doctrine, Orthodox doctrine, didn't have any dark side to him, and or evil side to him, and that's something that he could not handle, because of course we believe that Jesus was perfect, and he was not, didn't have some good, some evil, or a balance of it, of the two. He was completely perfect, completely righteous, so he completely tipped the scale. So there's no balancing. So in this personality theory, in these balancing these opposites, Rick Warren says there's no right or wrong temperament. We need opposites to balance the church. He says the personality traits that he lists are grouped in four couplets with opposing tendencies. So I ask the question, well, what does the Bible say about balance? And this idea of balancing and reconciling of opposites is another concept drawn from personality theory, which Carl Jung got from the Taoism's yin and yang. Remember the female, male-female, and he used the term animus and animus, and sure enough, that's in his, he calls the term psychological bisexuality, or androgyny, and just some very just terrifying ideas, and he also, by the way, believes that this personality theory was rooted in the collective unconscious, is a term he used, which is the primordial soup by which when we were supposedly before we were animals, and so through this process of evolution, this is how we got to where we are, and that he considered the real mother lode is to dig down deep into this collective unconscious is where you can find this gold mine in order to balance your these two opposing tendencies. So
now you're suggesting this is what the personality tests are that they're given in these churches?
I'm not just suggesting it, Stan. I'm with certainty telling you that's exactly what they do, and I've looked at them and examined them in depth, and you have the book now. You've probably seen all the charts that are circulating in all of these churches, these questionnaires, that you take.
And, of course, you have to answer the questionnaires. You're supposed to sign pledges. You're supposed to commit yourself to do what you're told and fit into the clique. And suddenly people are totally immersed, not in Christianity and the teachings of the Bible, but in the structure, the managerial structure of the church. Would that be a fair statement?
Well, it certainly would. And it's frightening. We're blurring the lines and the boundaries, whether it's between male and female. We're blurring the lines between what we were with when we were the old man versus when we're the new a creation, when we become a Christian. When the lines get blurred, we're no longer able to identify boundaries. And the Lord Himself throughout Scripture is constantly giving us boundaries. We have no way of identifying when we've crossed the line in order to identify or mark false teachers if it weren't for boundaries. We have to have clear lines. We can't be blurring the lines. I hope I answered that for you.
All right. Well, of course, then what other things that will people learn when they read your book?
Well, first, as I go through, I have some appendixes in here that are, I think, extremely valuable. I have an extensive chart that compares psychology to the Bible, one line after another, the worldview of psychology and all the major theorists and teachers that tragically enough are being imported into the church. And then I have another extensive chart that compares the church growth movement and the purpose-driven church to the Bible, to Scripture. And then I have an extensive article in there written by Reverend Ed Hurd on how Carl Jung and neo-Gnosticism found its way into evangelical Christianity. Then I have a whole long list of resources, reviews and exposés for by which by a number of other discernment ministries around the world that have founded a number of all of the points that I maybe didn't catch. I think most of my thrust of my work that's unique is how all the work that I did in comparing the influence of Carl Jung in Rick Warren's shape profiling of Christians. And then I have a chapter on comparing what Rick Warren says about doctrine to what the Scripture says about doctrine.
All right, now where would you then feel that he is not right on his doctrine?
I'm sorry?
Where would you disagree with him on his doctrine? How does his doctrine disagree with the conventional doctrine of Christianity?
Well, his own statements about doctrine that he says that doctrine really doesn't matter, that when you get to heaven that God is not going to ask you about your doctrine. And I went through and I found a host of scriptures where, in fact, God indeed does care about what your doctrine is. But it's without doctrine, we have no way of identifying true teaching from false teaching. So doctrine is very critical. It's one of the crown jewels of our faith. So those kinds of reckless statements are just inexcusable, to put it bluntly, Stan. A number of the false teachers he promotes, like Robert Schuller. Robert Schuller said he wouldn't mind if one of his grandchildren became a Muslim. And Richard promotes a number of ethics, which is, I devote a chapter to that. And
by mystics, you mean people who are looking for experience rather than the scriptures. Religious feelings on, would that be a fair statement?
That would be a good part of it, but it's also obtaining secret knowledge by which that there you have to, in part, you use experience rather than didactic teaching in order to do. But it's also visions and dreams and being able to interpret this, and it's totally subjective. There's no real necessarily didactic scripture by which you can test the dream by, because you just say it's from God and therefore it's legitimate. And he promotes Richard Foster, who believed that you can call Jesus down from out of heaven. He wrote a book about how we could get, not a book, but it was in one of his Celebration of Discipline books, about how that you could imagine being taken away into to heaven to visit Jesus up there. And of course, we are not going to physically see Jesus till he returns, and we're not going up there, and he's not coming down here until he returns. So that has to do with eschatology. So his eschatology is off.
All right, we've got Ellen calling from Aptos. Hi, Ellen. Did you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I do. I have questions because I have children at a Christian school in Jacksonville High School. And earlier in the year, they brought out a positive psychologist, and I'm sorry, I don't have the name. I'm in traffic. But they also this week have a group from, I think it's Willow Creek Church, mm-hmm. and are introducing a human video, and says that it has the words "Get started, get stupid, lose control of body and soul," and I just wondered if you're familiar to our schools, even the Christian schools.
Well, I'm afraid I am. I don't know specifically what teacher you're referring to, but I am very familiar with the laughing movement out of the thing, and what come out of England where. This where you roll on the floor, you can become barking dogs, and because it's an experience that you say that this is of the Lord, and it goes back. It's really nothing new under the sun, as Solomon would say. Remember the whirling dervishes, and and the even going back to Loyola, who Rick Warren promotes, as well as Richard Foster promotes, people maybe not that familiar, but they had these ecstatic experiences that they ushered into themselves into altered states of consciousness. And so this is not a new idea, but it's very, very tragic, because what they need to be bringing in is be grounding these young people in the Word of God.
Exactly.
And that's, so it breaks my heart to hear that, but it's not surprising.
And I really, you know, it's one thing to attack Christianity from without, but to attack from within, that's the way you really destroy a religion. And, of course, you know, it's like attacking an enemy. Attacking him head on, while you're going to have an awful lot of losses. But if you infiltrate his ranks and destroy their will to resist, why, of course, you've won without fighting.
No, thank you. It's a terrible thing that they're... And I just hope the community becomes more aware of it. Thank you.
God bless you. Bye-bye. Let's go to Mike calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Hi, Stan. I'd like to pick up the thread of your conversation a few minutes ago about the Taoism and the balance of within the human being, or the church members and the purpose-driven church and all that. What I think is so important for listeners to understand is that ultimately the purpose-driven church will have to exalt bisexuality. That is the balanced individual, able to go both ways, as they say.
Right.
In other words, they will be able to love, quote-unquote, love either gender equally. Those are the philosophies of the New Age movement that are out there now. They've been around for, I don't know, 20 years in our country, and forever probably over history, for as long as there's been paganism. I want to ask further about any UN affiliation your guest might be aware of regarding, say, Willow Creek and Saddleback.
Do you know anything at all about their... do they have any tie into this move towards world government? Certainly they seem to be trying to create a world religion, because we know this is very strong all throughout Africa.
Well, the link... It might be harder to make the direct link. However, when you keep seeing New Age idea after New Age idea mushrooming, when you have a New Age translation like The Message being quoted, when you have a peace plan that is, it's becoming global, where we're everything is geared toward this global government idea and global management and following Peter Drucker's model, that when you see these roads going all arrows pointing in the same direction, it's legitimate to ask the question, is in fact this part of there was a new a gentleman spoke at the prophecy conference that I was at, and he was speaking about all of these very New Age ideas that is a part of the New Age, or the, I'm sorry, the United Nations plan. And though I hadn't studied that independently, when he spoke, I just marveled at the parallels and how symmetrical it was to the findings that when I was reading and studying on Rick Warren's Purpose-Driven Life campaign and his 40 Years of Community, and then his 2006, I believe, the fall, where he launches his more of his world campaign, although it's really already gone throughout the world already. And it should be somewhat frightening to evangelistic, God-fearing Christians that there should be one man in charge of a plan for Christians for the whole earth. You think we'd learn our lessons from the Reformation and all the martyred saints, that we're going to now put one man in charge of God's plan for the earth, because when Jesus Christ returns, that's the person that needs to be in charge of the plan for the whole earth, not one man.
Have you run across anything in the way of an NGO status for Willow Creek?
No, I just know what I studied on Willow Creek was a few years ago, and what this is more of Stan's realm. What I tried to do was simply go through line by line in their teachings and then line them up with Scripture. That's more my specialty, and so when Bill Hybels stands up and promotes the Myers-Briggs personality profiling that's completely based on Carl Jung's teaching, that catches my attention, and so I have to stand up and oppose that. There's no Scripture whatsoever that talks about how God will needs to determine your personality to find out, to determine what your calling is. He certainly will determine your calling or purpose based on character, but there's not one shred any place in the entire Bible where you need to, he uses personality profiling to determine what your calling is. Interestingly enough, in Egyptian religion, they believe in body, soul, and personality, and after death.
Well, so, I think we're out of time. Our guest has been James Sundquist. His book deals with this whole New Age movement as it's beginning, I believe, to sweep into our religions here. What's the title of the book again?
Who's Driving?
Who's Driving the Purpose-Driven Church? Who's Driving the Purpose-Driven Church?
Author, and you have the book available.
Yes, we will have it available. We think it's a great book. We think it's so important people understand that there is changes in the winds today, and it's changing the Christian church, not only throughout America, but throughout the world. Thank you so much for being with us, and we want to get you on again real soon.
Good to be with you, and God bless you and your listeners richly.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, this is Dr. Stan. We'll be back here in just a moment.
Another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen, or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just mention that we do carry the book that James Sundquist has written, Who's Driving the Purpose-Driven Church? And then we carry, of course, the book of Warren Smith that goes into the background of the Purpose-Driven Church. And we're trying to get people to understand that there is an agenda behind this entire movement. And, of course, it is to change Christianity forever. We actually have a four-tape set on the church growth movement. We have an excellent video by a good friend, orthopedic surgeon, in fact, who has put something together called Diaprax in the Church. And it goes into the whole background of this movement. And then, of course, we have... We carry the book Deceived on Purpose, which, of course, is the one that was written by Warren Smith. We have a four-tape set on the Apostate Church, and all of these are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. That's Deceived on Purpose. And then, of course, the Diaprax in the Church, the four-tape set, the Church Growth Movement, and then, of course, the four tape set on the Apostate Church. There is a movement, of course, to transform Christianity forever, and tragically, most Americans have no idea what has really happened. We're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men, and most people don't even know the battle is going on today. And many good people have gotten involved in this without ever realizing the very subtle changes in the teachings of the Holy Scriptures. And so we suggest very strongly that you get the video, Diaprax in the Church, the two four-tape sets, the Church Growth Movement, and the Apostate Church, and then, of course, Deceived on Purpose, which we think is an excellent book. So give us a call. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we need to remind our listeners out across America that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we'd hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do 5 hours every day. So if you'd be interested in joining the Radio Liberty family and getting our four best tapes of the month, getting our monthly newsletter, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we certainly believe that the information that was brought out in this last hour is so important. There is a video which we carry by Dr. Robert Klink. It's called Diaprax in the Church, Actually, this is a DVD. And, of course, here you'll actually see the whole background of the church, how this whole movement fits together. It gives you the whole history of how this movement is being used to transform the church today. We have a four-tape set on the church growth movement. We have a four-tape set on the apostate church. We, of course, carry Warren Smith's excellent book, Deceived on Purpose. And then, of course, we carried James Sundquist Church, a book as well. And, of course, we think that all of these will help you better to understand exactly what is going on in Christianity today. Because we're beginning very subtly to teach a different gospel, and St. Paul warned us about the people who would come teaching a different gospel. But there is a move, of course, to neutralize the teachings of the church, to talk about the birth and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but to change this whole idea that we're sinners saved by grace to the fact that everything is good, that God loves everybody, and everybody's going to go to heaven. And, of course, they've very subtly changed the entire message of the Scriptures. It is not happening by accident. It is happening on purpose. And until you understand we are being deceived on purpose, you can't understand so much of what's going on in the world in Christianity today. Then, of course, we hope that many of you, of course, will go to our website at RadioLiberty.com and look at some of the items we have there that will help you better to understand the true spiritual nature of the battle in which we're involved. That's www.RadioLiberty.com. You can listen to our programs there on the Internet 5 hours a day, either on that site or on the other sites that link to our programs. You can look at the various items that we carry. You certainly, if you are interested, we do carry Berkey products, the Big Berkey, and of course the Berkey Light. If you'd like to get those, why give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we do hope that you go to our website. You can listen to our programs there on the Internet 5 hours a day, and please tell other people about our programs. They can be listened to 4 hours a day on shortwave, so we have a unique opportunity to reach people all across America, indeed all across the world, with an understanding that we are involved in a spiritual battle that's being fought on a political, ideological, cultural, educational, and yes, even on a religious battlefield, as the message of Christianity is very subtly being changed by those who would introduce a new gospel into the church, and that is that God loves everybody and there is no punishment for sin, because a loving God would never punish anyone. And if you believe that, of course, why you were halfway into accepting the gospel, of course, of this new form of Christianity, which is not the gospel that was taught by the apostles or by our Lord. So we're in real trouble today. I believe the Christian movement, the Christian church has been infiltrated. But what better way to destroy Christianity than from within? So if you'd like to get the information, and remember it's all available through Radio Liberty, go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. Remember the DVD, Diapracs in the Church, the four-tape set on the church growth movement, the four-tape set on the apostate church, and then, of course, the various items that we've mentioned as well. Again, our number 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for America. Pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.